Now, here are different expressions of jihad. To ponder over the revelation and to seek to transmit it, to pass it on. This is an expression of jihad. These are manifestations of ways to express jihad, to carry out jihad. To propagate the message, to preach or to teach as we are trying to do now. To patiently persevere, to not to give up and keep going at it, keep continuously striving. That's jihad. To organize a community of Muslims, to defend the Muslim country, a community from outside attack. To start the preaching of Islam to other groups and other nations. To start it is very difficult. You start preaching in an area where people don't know nothing about your religion, you get all kinds of reactions. Many times you may even get threats, like we got in the early days when we were trying to preach. I know we were preaching the wrong thing, but there were many who were preaching the right thing, and they got threats too. To demolish by force any resistance and the structures and also the structures of tyranny. Tyranny means cruel domination by government or powerful people. You have to resist that. How do we know we have to resist that? Because the Quran tells, Allah tells in the Quran. And also in the Sunnah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He says, anyone who agrees or complies in something that a tyrant requires, gives himself to disbelief, disobedience. So to obey a tyrant is to disobey in this religion. And he says that if anyone sees a thing that it is bad or harmful or wrong, that he should seek to remove it with his hands, or else by speaking out against it with his tongue, or else by going against it with the principle of the heart. And he said, using the heart is the weakest of faith. So what kind of resistance did he advocate? Physical resistance. Active resistance. That's the kind he advocated. Active resistance. And that is acceptable, but doesn't merit the highest honor, is to speak out against it. And that merits the lowest is to just act against it with the principle of your heart, or to go against it with your feelings. The heart, my heart. Like I hear people say, well, my heart ain't for that. God knows my heart. God knows your actions too. And you heard the expression, actions speak louder than words. And in our religion, we say, there is no belief without practice. You can't just believe. They think that they will be accepted upon saying they believe and not be put to test. You have to act. Now, it says here, continuing under the meaning of jihad, the ultimate aim of jihad is the uplifting of the word of God above all other words within every human soul and within every group of people. Not for gain of territory or imperial domination. Now, I have to question this last one, this one here. Not the intent of the writer, but I question the language that he, this choice of language. Allah says in the Quran to Prophet Muhammad, that you cannot make them believe. And also, God says to us in the Holy Book, let whosoever desire to believe, let him believe. And whosoever desire not to believe, let him not believe. This is plainly, very plain in the Quran. And in another place it says, let there be no compelling or forcing people in religion. And in another place it says, say to the rejecters of faith, to you is your religion, and to me is mine. Does that sound like forcing or making Islam be the religion over everybody? Allah says that He will perfect His light, though the enemies of it desire to put it out with their mouths. He will perfect His light. And it also says of the propagation or the spreading of it. Says whoever he causes to believe is blessed with faith, and whoever he leaves to stray will find no one to guide him. So ultimately, it's in God's hand. Faith is a blessing from God. That you have faith in God, that you will be a Muslim. That's a blessing from God. And it's in God's hand. No prophet, not to mention us, in our little capacity, no prophet has been given the power to make people believe. So this idea that the Muslims are obligated to struggle and struggle and struggle until the religion of Islam or Al-Islam is the dominant religion and everybody is confessing Allah, and that's wrong. That is wrong. We are to work and struggle to invite people to this religion. That's the only power we have. The only authority that has been given to us is the authority to insist upon freedom, to invite people or to propagate the message by way of invitation. Prophet Muhammad never fought any war, never fought any nation, so that the religion would become the religion of that nation. He fought nations only in defense of people who were pleading to their cruel masters for the freedom to practice the religion. So those cruel, imperialist nations who denied their subjects the right to practice the religion, Prophet Muhammad went and fought them in defense of their freedom, not to force the religion on anybody. Now that's the fact of history. And I won't get any contention except from somebody that left that nut house down there, or Mantina or somewhere. Those are the only ones that will argue with me. The strongest language in the Quran says this: fight them until there is no more oppression. And the religion is free for God. That's what it says. So, what was the fight for? To preach the religion? To get religion on the people? No! to free the religion so that it could be preached freely. So wherever people said, no, you can't have that religion here, the Muslim obligated to do whatever he can. If he's in a situation where he can fight those people, he should fight them. If that's what you have to do, fight them for your right to have to your religion. Now look at this modern nation who took much of its democracy from our religion. Look at this great modern nation, America. It says we have the right of assembly. We have the right of freedom of speech, right? And strong American people will fight and die before they allow those freedoms to be taken away from them. But did you get these freedoms without bloodshed? No. This country fought England to get this freedom. And it had to fight others to keep this freedom. And many times have to fight each other at home to keep these freedoms. So the Muslim religion does not teach anything about fighting to force religion on somebody else. They teach us only to fight in defense of right. And freedom is precious to Muslims just like it is to other freedom-loving people. Freedom is precious, and we will fight and die and lose our life before we give up our freedom. Our freedom to have the religion that God has given to us. That was the case then, that's the case now, if you're a strong Muslim. And God knows that I would die. I believe I would die 1,000 deaths. Die and come back and die again, keep dying over and over before I let anybody stop me from practicing this religion. Not just believing it, I insist upon believing it and also practicing it. Not only that, I insist upon realizing its objectives. And then when I get some strong people behind me, we're going to realize its objectives. Or I should say, when I get more strong people behind me, we're going to realize its objectives. We should have our own halal products. We should have our own markets. We should be supplying our own community with our halal foods. We shouldn't have to go to non-Muslims and get foods that are not halal. The Jew can go to a Jew and get kosher food. Muslims should be able to go to Muslim and get halal food. We want our own businesses. We want our own properties. And we want our own community. We want our own regulated community. We want our schools. We want our mosques. We want our businesses. We want our life to be regulated by Islam, by Islamic principles. We want to have employment to the extent that most of our members will not have to ask no non-Muslim boss to get off the Jummah. That should be our objective. We can't settle for less than that. No, not if you're a real Muslim. If you're a real Muslim, you can't settle for less than that. You should be striving to reach that point where you have your community in your control to the extent that you can live your religion without having to depend upon outside circumstances. And the provision for that is already in this country. If I didn't know that with all my heart, I wouldn't be preaching this here. I would be preaching, let's get out of America. That's what I would be preaching. I would be preaching, let's leave America. Let's get people together who want to follow the way of life that we want, and let's ask them to leave America. I'd be asking the government, let us leave, to find us a place. You brought us here, find us a place. Yeah, I'd be giving them hell like Prophet Elijah Muhammad did. But I'm convinced that this country accommodates all decent people and all the established religions. I sat right in the presence of a president of these United States who said to an audience of mixed people, various races and ethnic groups were in the audience at the White House, and the president said, we have an obligation, a commitment, to recognize the three great religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And I ran for President Madison. It's recorded in the history for saying the same thing. He said that we recognize the Muslim people, the religion of Islam, and the Muslim people. Only the nuts
the stupid people, the half-educated, and those dumb and out of it completely. Only they have this crazy notion that this religion can't prosper in the United States of America. Yes, it can prosper here. But you need the spirit of a real Muslim. You need the spirit to get up and do things. And to not to give up when there's opposition, but to meet opposition with greater strength. To be active and continuously active for the good of your community and for the good of all people. I read that again now. The ultimate aim of jihad is the uplifting of the word of God above all other words within every human soul and within every group of people, not for gain of territory or for imperial domination. That's true. We can't do anything for gain of territory or imperial domination because God says any who desire that, he will not give the hereafter to them. He will deny them the hereafter if they desire such. But at the same time, God says, my righteous servants shall inherit. So we shouldn't say, I don't want to be in authority. I don't want to be in power. I don't want to be at the top of the heap. That's stupid. Don't desire it for yourself. But if the opportunity comes and you have an invitation to go to the top, you'd be stupid not to take it. Because God says he's going to bless his devotees. Those who obey him and worship him, he's going to bless those people with the inheritance. The inheritance of land, inheritance of land, and inheritance of power, authority, rule. So don't be afraid of that. In fact, if you're afraid of it, you put yourself out of it. You've eliminated yourself. Islam is a practical religion and uses practical means, preaching or fighting, if necessary. Jihad is a dynamic response to new challenges. It is not necessarily defense of the homeland of Islam. It is not nationalistic. Not even in relation to Muslim nationalism. That is, a Muslim nation cannot call its patriotism for its nation a holy spirit or a holy zeal and then go out in defense of its nation and call that jihad. No. It cannot be for nationalism, even though the nation be Muslim. Islam's call is for all people. So our struggle must benefit all people. It must benefit all people. It cannot exalt us or increase our power and influence against the rights or against the common good of all people. It is only justifiable when it is good for all people and just by all people. Islam regulates the relationship of the Muslim community with non-Muslim communities. Now, you can see that even his choice of language hurt his own presentation. Because what he said above gives little fighting Christians, especially those who have been conditioned by centuries of crusades, which their people, Western people, Christian people, were fighting Muslim people for control, global control. But here, this kind of language is well, this fellow is all right.
It softened things up again. Says the Muslim community, Islam regulates the relationship of the Muslim community with non-Muslim community. That tells us that Islam does not seek the destruction or the elimination of other religious communities. But instead, it regulates the relationship. It teaches us to be respectful of them and to work together for the common good of the whole lot of humanity with Christians, Jews, or any good people. Establishment of God's authority, Allah's authority. Islam is a call for human freedom for all mankind. Freedom from fear of death, poverty, or lordship of one over another, or persecution. Islam does not permit Muslims to do injustice nor to suffer injustice. If preaching is at intellectual plane, is on an intellectual level, movement is at practical and the language here is this English is not that clear to me. I won't try to. But what you have to understand here is that Muslims are not permitted to do any injustice, and we should not allow ourselves to suffer injustice from another people or from others.